This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Questions surrounding the availability of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who's currently in the NFL's concussion protocol. But according to 610 Sports Radio Kansas City morning show host Bob Fesco, he says there are other concerns for the Chiefs.
Is it weird to say that I'm more concerned about some other injuries than I am about Patrick Mahomes? Because Patrick's going to play on Sunday. There's really no doubt in anybody's mind right now. And that was kind of the feel coming out of the game on, you know, Sunday. And I honestly think there's more concern about his toe than there is about the whole concussion thing. So I think from a Mahomes standpoint, he's going to be out there. He's going to play. But the one that I think, you know, is not getting enough conversation is Breshad Breeland, one of their starting defensive backs, who left the game with a concussion as well. And he's a very valuable piece to the Chiefs defense, and the way that Buffalo's been throwing the ball all over the place, got a bunch of wide receivers that can get you. He's the type of guy you want out there and playing it. So he's kind of the one that I'm really keeping my eye on this week when it comes to an injury standpoint of who may miss and who could be a valuable piece if they're not playing in this game.
610 Sports Radio Kansas City morning show host Bob Fesco on My Guys of the Desert, heard weekdays 5 to 7 Eastern on VSIN. The Kansas City Chiefs are the 3-point favorite over the Buffalo Bills. Breshad Breeland, concussion in the divisional round win over the Browns. He had 2 picks and 9 passes defended in the regular season. 6 tackles and a pass defended in the win over the Browns. He remains in the NFL's concussion protocol as well. On Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, Mitch and Paulie discuss the line for this matchup and when will Bill's money show up.
And more discussion about where this number will go. And I know Johnny Avello and others have said they expect Chiefs money once we find out, and it looks like it's going to be Mahomes. I'm not so sure about that, though, because as Mike Baum said yesterday, we talked about on Monday show, how about all the Browns money? If they're going to bet the Browns like that, double-fisted, why won't they bet the Bills? Because everyone knows this, that the Bills are a machine right now, and they're 9-1 ATS in their last 10. Kansas City's 0-8-1 ATS slide. Again, they haven't covered since the Jets game November 1st. Bills are getting it done every week, and not to mention what they're doing straight up, yeah, with the exception of the Hail Mary. I mean, they're hot. And every time you go to the window and say, give me Buffalo, you're cashing tickets. Every time you go to the window, you're betting the Chiefs, you're losing.
Yeah.
I mean, people remember that. And then you just saw, you know, again, it's 19-3 at halftime. And then he gets hurt and you know what happens. But they bet that down to 7, 7.5. If they're going to bet the Browns, they're going to bet the hottest team in the league.
That's what I thought, too. I mean, I thought I'll go back to Sunday when Mahomes did not get hurt yet. He's still in the game. And books had Chiefs up -4. I thought, oh, my God, money's going to come in on the Bills for sure. And I talked to guys at the books, and Jeff Sherman just don't know. Nope, we took 3 bets on the Chiefs -4. That was it.
Mitch and Paulie, Follow the Money, weekday morning 7 to 10 Eastern on VSIN, discussing the line for the Kansas City Chiefs-Buffalo Bills game in the AFC Championship. The Chiefs at 1 point, a 2.5-point favorite, now laying 3, the total 53.5 at Arrowhead. In the NFC title game, the Green Bay Packers, 3.5-point favorites at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's another huge weekend of the NFL, but your betting card is full every day of the week with the NHL, the NBA, and college basketball. The VSIN experts are working on every sport every day to give you a betting edge. Subscribers get all of your insights and analysis for the NFL playoff matchups at our new NHL betting guide to help you make the most informed betting decisions possible. Become a VSIN All-access subscriber today, vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's the most exciting time of the sports betting year. With football playoffs, pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, soccer, tennis, and with all this action, you need the analysis and insights from VSIN sports betting experts more than ever. Get daily email best bets from our hosts and guests, 24/7 video streaming, and our point spread weekly betting guides to improve your betting IQ and give yourself an edge. Invest in your sports betting success with a VSIN subscription today at vsin.com/subscribe.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit vsin.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
Welcome back to the program. Hour number two, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm your host, Mike Pritchard, out in Las Vegas. Your other host, James Salinas, is out in Denver, Colorado. And James, that was an outstanding first hour. I hope a lot of people caught that one.
Yeah, so much information, but what a pleasure to have Warren Moon on and get his perspective from a Hall of Fame perspective at the quarterback position, because I think that's what's so interesting about this weekend, right? Is we know when we're talking about Rodgers and Brady, they're going to be in the Hall of Fame as soon as they're eligible, and Mahomes, the way that he's playing early in his career, is obviously on his track to Canton as well. And then, you know, as far as Josh Allen, that's the interesting piece that I really wanted to dig into too, is and break down as we get closer to Sunday, is Josh Allen, right? This is, do you talk about the pedigree? We said 20 combined championship games for Brady and Rodgers. This is going to be now Mahomes' third straight, obviously. So he seems like an old vet who's only been around for 4 years. But now Josh Allen, and that's the key, right? How does he perform? We know what he can do physically out there, but there's something also, Pritch, right, to the mental aspect of it. And then when does the gravity of the situation hit when it's actually, wow, I am playing for a trip to go to the Super Bowl? And that's the thing with the Bills, is we know their offense, it's going to be predicated on throwing the football, and Josh Allen has to lead them to be able to make all the right reads, make the right throws, and lead them to the Super Bowl. That's a lot. That's a tall order for a young player like Josh Allen.
It really is. Dave Ross, great insight on UFC 257 as well. So we're loaded up with sports, and certainly from a sports betting standpoint, that is awesome. Let's get to the NBA, because I know we're going to get back to the National Football League for sure, but let's get to the NBA, because we only had three games last night. I thought they were great games, and but then you look at the schedule today, it's spectacular too. So the Lakers, recapping, they beat the Bucks. LeBron goes off. The Jazz get it done. Mitchell went off. There's some controversy about him and Shaq. And then the Knicks, Draymond, he got ejected, and then, okay, the Warriors were done. So the Knicks prevail. Bulls, Hornets. I like this matchup, this one coming up here, James. I think, you know, the Bulls surprising some people. Billy Donovan's getting it done. I think they're buying into what he wants offensively, sharing the basketball. And then the Hornets. They had that delay or postponement against the Wizards, so they had some extra practice time. How do you see this game?
Well, I was looking at this game. We talked about Donovan. Donovan's a college guy, right? He's a teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's some coaches, I think everybody that gets into coaching at some point, yeah, you're a leader and a role model when you're coaching, whether you're at the high school level or in the college level, which was Donovan. He spent decades coaching at the college level. He is a teacher, and I think this is the perfect fit for him, being in Chicago with a young team. It's an incredibly young team that he's working with, and so being able to start to really put his imprint on these young kids of this is how we're going to perform and play basketball. Now, a lot of work ahead for Donovan there, from not only a talent standpoint, but, you know, an experience or lack of experience for the Chicago Bulls, but decent start so far, right? You're talking 6-8. I think defensively are where the struggles are for the Bulls. You know, they're giving up 120 points per game, but yeah. In this day and age of NBA, that's what does that mean anymore? But I was looking at the matchup here, and I was listening to JVT earlier this morning, and, you know, our senior NBA analyst, and he was talking about Charlotte, and really they're slowing things down from a defensive standpoint, playing a lot more zone. Ultimately, they don't have much size Cody Zeller is the only really big that they have, and he broke his hand early in the season, first game, and he has only played one game this season. He might be back tonight.
He might be back, yeah.
But we'll see how many minutes he gets. He hasn't played in a month. But, you know, they're having to kind of make up for their size deficiency with the zone. So I was looking at the Bulls roster like, okay, well, we know, as far as Donovan is concerned, you're talking about a college coach who's seen plenty of zones over the years and knows how to beat zones. And plenty of ways to beat zones. You attack the high post. You can get the short corners. And do you have guys that can get into the gaps off the bounce and kick to shooters? And looking at, well, who do the Bulls have for shooters? And Markkanen now is back. Lauri Markkanen, he's a stretch five for sure at 7 foot, but his acumen is to shoot the ball, and he can shoot it from distance and shoot it well. He's been back the last few games from injury. So I was looking at, as opposed to the game, I looked at his point total and figuring he's going to get a lot of open looks because he is going to be sitting outside. If they do play a lot of zone, do the Hornets, based on what happens with Zeller, I think they will. But the only concern now that I have, Rich, was just looking at the injury reports. Now Wendell Carter, that is the big, really the true big, at least the inside big for the Bulls. He is listed as out with a thigh injury. So I don't know now what that looks like off from an offensive standpoint for the Bulls to be able to go in and attack a zone if that was being run by the Hornets today. Because if they do run that zone and they are able to get the ball inside out, which they can do off the bounce, I think Markkanen can have a huge day shooting the basketball because he will be parked outside. And so his point total was 17.5 points, and it was juiced to the under. I like the over right there with Lauri Markkanen getting those shots against the zone if the Hornets do end up playing that. So that might be something I'd look to play beforehand, but also that's the beauty. There's live in-game prop bets, player props that we can play too. So if they do start to play a lot of zone, I think that's going to be the big zone buster is going to be Markkanen on the outside.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for that. And also the news and notes too, because Durant has been ruled out as the Nets go up against the Cavs again. Second time around in this one. A little bit different line though this time around. That was a big one. It closed minus 10.5 the first game. This one, we're looking at Brooklyn laying 6.5. That total 223.5, James.
Well, I wanted to see how do they come back, all three of them now. How are they going to start to divvy those shots? We saw Kyrie Irving really dominate the ball in that first matchup, and obviously they lost in double overtime. And we talked also about just the lack of depth now for the Nets. You traded away a number of players. You had some injuries too, so not a lot of depth when it comes to experience coming off the bench. And really, they wore down and wore out of gas as the game progressed and got into double overtime. I'm not going to play this game here because I wanted to see all right, how do the three coexist in the next game, and how do they run their offense? It was really a lot of five out ISO offense is what we saw, but now not having Durant in there, now what are we going to see? I really have no idea other than that we're talking about Harden and Kyrie. Everything begins on the perimeter with those guys. Not a lot of movement off the ball for the team as a whole. So, yeah, but it want to be a bounce back spot from getting really worked the last time that they played Cleveland. But we talked about spots too, right? Mm-hmm. And that was really, to me, that was not a good spot for the Nets. Really kind of lackadaisical, going and playing a bad Cavs team on the road when you just beat Milwaukee a couple the night before. But we see that with spots too. We saw that with the Warriors last night, right?
Right.
Complete no-show. They had just come off back-to-back wins, beaten kind of some conference rival in a sense with the Spurs and the Lakers. Now you're playing a non-conference team with the Knicks coming in, but you knew the Knicks was going to be fired up. Cavs will come ready to play, but I don't want to go back to the well with that. They were plus 10. Now it's down to 7. Obviously an adjustment there with Durant being out too. Probably not a game that I'm going to play before it tips off.
This might be my second play. My first play certainly was the Hornets to cover against Toronto. That was toe and water time. I was happy about that. But I might play this one because it's James Harden. I mean, these guys are good. And I know defensively they're challenged. They'll figure it out. Durant not being there, okay, I get that too. But I look at Cleveland and how it took them double overtime to beat a defensively challenged outfit and new chemistry too on the court. I don't know if they go off again like that scoring-wise and talking about the Cavs here. They could, but I might feel compelled to lay the points here with Brooklyn.
Well, it's dropped now. I see some six and a halfs now, probably with the news with Durant taking kind of his, it was a rehab day for his Achilles. Yeah. And we're going to see that with him throughout the season, along with a number of other players. But
like, we weren't going to get defense from KD anyway, right? I mean,
well, you're not going to get defense from most of those players that we see, at least not the star power. I mean, we saw some of those transition points that Cleveland was getting, and, you know, they're just waving their hand. No one's stepping in front, no one's trying to stop the ball. And, you know, that, I think they rely on Jordan to have to go back there and be a rim protector, but you just pull him out. You run five out offense the other way, pull him away from the basket, and now you can beat those other guys to the cup at any time you want. So, you know, that total's actually continued to tick down too, which is interesting. Obviously, you're taking 25 to 30 points off the court when you're talking about Durant, but with Harden and Kyrie, they can easily, from a scoring standpoint, easily make up for Durant's absence on that offensive side.
You know, it's 50-50 Tatum, I play. Boston, they play the Sixers here. Philly is laying 4.5, total 221.5. Embiid is going off at people are saying and suggesting that his offseason has led to this. Doc has helped him as well. But that commitment by Embiid has certainly helped the Sixers here, James. How do you see this one?
Well, and the referees definitely helped him out the last game as well. he sat at the line. He got 21 free throws.
Bopping.
I mean, that's when the NBA gets exhausting, right? Is when it just becomes a parade to the free throw line. It's a free throw shooting contest. So we'll see if they're as happy with the whistles tonight, because, you know, the Celtics had some things to say about kind of Embiid's theatrics out there on the court, throwing his hands up and trying to sell calls. And you see that with a lot of top players in the NBA. They know how it works. And they usually get the benefit of the doubt with some of those things. But we'll see if that whistle actually rolls in favor of the Sixers tonight. Talk about bounce back spots. Obviously, that's a great bounce back spot for the Celtics. Still at +4.5. Mainly 4.5 out here. So I lean towards the Celtics in this matchup. Okay. Yeah, maybe Tatum does or doesn't come back. We don't know what kind of shape he'll be in. You know, anytime they're coming back from COVID, we just don't know how impactful that was for these players coming back. But ultimately, who did return a couple games ago is Kemba Walker, right? It's going to be, I think, his third start back, and he'll have some limited minutes out there. He's at, you know, first cup, 20, 25 minutes a game, and I think he'll start to get his legs and stamina back. But I think that's the thing with Boston is they are really an ISO team too. They really don't get a lot of paint touches, nothing inside out. It really starts with on the perimeter with those guys, and sometimes not having Tatum there, you know, the shot selection isn't great for the Celtics, but not having Tatum there sometimes opens the floor up, because the Celtics are very athletic, and when you can open up the floor and play five out offense, pull Embiid from the inside the paint, I think there's going to be opportunities to get to the basket for Boston. So in this sense, for four quarters plus the 4.5, Boston's going to compete, that's for sure. We know they were not happy how that game was played out from an officiating standpoint the last matchup. So I like the competitive nature for the Celtics. I think they'll be able to compete here, maybe win the game outright, but 4.5 points, I'll take the dog.
Yeah, you call out the superstar like you did to the media. I mean, you better bring it next time around if you're the Celtics.
Yeah, and they will. I think that's the struggle is when Embiid decides to play inside, he can fall in love with those perimeter shots sometimes too, but he'll go where the mismatch is, and that's the struggle for Boston is they just don't have – they're very thin on the inside, and that's just not where they're built. Their roster's just not built there to play Embiid or any of these bigs that actually can score in the paint, and hence, you know, there was a number of fouls that were committed and 21 free throws for Joel Embiid. I don't think we'll see that many tonight, and we'll have to make some adjustments defensively, maybe a little more fronting, trying to deny him the pass from the wing. So Boston will have some adjustments in this matchup, but I think offensively they're going to be able to get to the basket, get to the cup, especially if Tatum does not play. I think it opened up the floor because they are very athletic at the guard and the small forward position.
You know, James, I saw Ayton play up in Boulder when he was with Arizona. The Buffs got the job done against Arizona years ago, obviously a few years ago, and now you got the Suns and Nuggets. The way that the Joker is playing here is spectacular. Another MVP type of season for Jokic here. The Suns laying 1.5 at home, 220. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, that number keeps ticking down. So I haven't looked at all the injuries here. I know on the Nuggets side, talking about Michael Porter Jr. might be coming back from COVID tonight. We'll see. And again, here's another player who's been out. How healthy is he coming back? How many minutes is he actually going to get on the floor? I look at it like this. If he does come back and play, and I'm sure he's not just going to jump right in and start playing 30-plus minutes. If he does come back and play, I favor the Suns in this matchup anyhow, but if he does come back and play, I favor the Suns even more. From starting with, when I talk about defense or lack of defense, having any kind of team concept and awareness of space, where you should be spacing-wise when you're talking about help side. Porter Jr., he either is completely closed to his man or completely closed to the ball. He's not open to either consistently like you should be, right? And so I think him coming back really would be a hindrance to the Nuggets defensively. They're already not very good defensively as it is. Mm-hmm. And the other part for the Nuggets offensively, too, is Jamal Murray has been suffering all season long. He's been dealing with an elbow injury. Right. I saw it on the bench the other night when they played OKC. They had it wrapped up again in between his stints out on the floor. So he is clearly not healthy, and as a jump shooter, which he primarily is, he can get to the rack too, but as a primarily jump shooter, anytime you're having elbow injuries, he's a suffering through. He's grinding through it, and he's doing what he needs to do to try to help the Nuggets win. But for the Suns, I love that backcourt tandem. I think they're going to be able to get what they want on the defensive side. Harris is a good defender for the Nuggets, but I still favor the Suns in this matchup, especially if Porter Jr. does come back and play.
Yeah, especially if he comes back and play. Okay, I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, they are missing somebody with the Nuggets. It just feels like they're not complete. And I know a lot of people have talked about this, Jonathan Von Tobel as well, in terms of being that team emerging out of the bubble to perhaps surprise some folks to be the number one seed in the West, thinking that the Lakers would be the Lakers, right, and just show up when playoffs come around. But they seem like they're missing some ingredients with that roster right now, James.
Well, they definitely miss Grant, who's now in Detroit and become the focal point of that offense. But ultimately, it's Barton and Millsap trying to work Barton back in there. He can be a black hole with the ball sometimes. When he gets it, it doesn't come back out. Mm-hmm. And then Millsap is just so inconsistent on his ability to put the ball in the basket. Sometimes he's in the paint. Sometimes he wants to shoot threes. Just not consistent play from either of those guys. And I think that's the biggest piece, missing Grant a lot and trying to figure out more shots for those two to acclimate to that offense. Still a struggle right now.
Yeah, the Pegasus World Cup is tomorrow. That means two new episodes of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. The Handicopper's Pop is features Las Vegas bookmakers Chris Andrews, Johnny Avello, Dwayne Colucci, and Vinny Maiulo. The episode also offers local knowledge about the Pegasus from Acacia Courtney of Gulfstream Park TV, plus an interview with Ed Musselman on why he stopped publishing the controversial Indian Charlie newsletter. Subscribe right now or get to wherever you can catch the Ron Flatter Racing Podcast, vsin.com/podcast. It's Pegasus World Cup week, and First Bet is giving new and existing customers a $20 risk-free bet to celebrate the first major horse racing event of the year. All you have to do is visit vsin.com/horses to sign up. Place a win bet. If your horse doesn't win, you get your money back up to $20. How easy is that? If you are a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. Visit vsin.com/horses to sign up for this special Pegasus World Cup offer today. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today. And James, we got the props that all over the place, but we have the specials too, courtesy of BetMGM. You can bet on the halftime fourth quarter leaders as a parlay. So check this out. Who will lead at the at halftime, and then who will also lead at the end of the fourth quarter. Now, overtime, we're not going to include that here. Here are the odds. Packers as a parlay, plus 105. Bucks, plus 275. Bucks, Packers, plus 600. Packers, Bucks, plus 750. A tie, Packers, 14-1. Tie, Bucks, 18-1. I know it's crazy, right? I love this, though, because these are scenarios that, you know, you have your squares, if you will, for your parties and stuff. But to me, this is another way of doing that, courtesy of BetMGM.
Well, and I think for me, I think ultimately for that latter part, right, who's going to close out and basically who's going to win the game is what you need to know. So you have to identify, do you like the Packers and the Bucks in this matchup to actually win the game? And then you work backwards as far as what that first half is. So let's work to the first half.
Okay.
To begin with. You know, the weather's going to be it's not going to be brutally cold, but it's going to be cold for, you know, that. 15 degrees when it comes to wind chill factor, so I think that will be an issue. That could be somewhat of an issue. I just think it's going to be harder for Tampa Bay to get started in this game. I think for Green Bay, they're used to playing in those conditions, right? They've done it they do it year in and year out. They practice in those conditions too. I saw their practice today. They were practicing outside, so getting acclimated, getting ready for this, because really last week's game wasn't too cold. But I think for Tampa, it's just, you can do all the things you want, right, Pritch? You can do your little the plastics in your shoes and the hand warmer, all these kind of things.
Still gonna be cold.
It takes your while, right? But it's gonna be cold, and then your body may eventually will acclimate to it. But just warming up on the sideline is gonna be, right, totally different than actually warming up during the game once the game gets going. So may take them a while. So I look at it this way: if I like the Packers and I like the Packers to win the game, if I like the Packers just to win the game, we're talking about, forget the point spread right now. They're laying 3.5, but the money line. If I wanted the Packers just to win the game outright, it's still roughly $1.85. So I'm almost laying $2, and it may tick up as we continue to get the kickoff. Laying $2 in that sense to win it. Now, if we think that the Packers will get off to a hot start, they're going to be scripted. They're used to playing in that kind of condition. The Bucks are not. Then if you're thinking, well, then they're going to lead kind of wire to wire, at least at the half, and finish out the game with the win, then there's the value there at plus 105 to win the game. You need them to be leading at the halftime too. That's kind of the buyback, right?
Right.
That's what you're paying for. That's what you're. I'm betting and I'm gambling on that. But looking at that perspective, Pritch, do you feel me? Do you think that I could be wire to wire at least for halftime and game? Just because I think that the Packers will get off to a hot start, and it's going to take the Bucks a little bit longer to get acclimated to a hot start based on the weather.
Yeah, I do feel what you're saying there, James Salinas. Let's go to Chiefs plus 125. Bills plus 220. Bills Chiefs plus 600, Chiefs Bills plus 700, ties, you know, at halftime, that's legitimate. Tie Chiefs 14-1, tie Bills 18-1 when it comes to who's going to lead at halftime, and certainly who's going to lead at the end of the fourth quarter in AFC.
Yeah, and kind of the same sense, right? It's a lower money line right now on the Chiefs. I suspect that's going to start to tick up too, right? More people become aware that it is absolutely confirmed that Mahomes will play. Mm-hmm. I like the Chiefs to win this game outright. Forget the number here. So if you're laying $1.65, $1.70, you might want to go the same route. The only concern I have is for the Chiefs, you know, if you're talking wire-to-wire plus $1.25,
yeah.
But you have the Chiefs plus 600 if the Bills have the lead. I don't know. What kind of start do you think the Bills are going to get off to? Yeah, it's going to be a whole different environment for them. They have been at home the last two playoff games. Now they're going on the road. Do you think the Bills can get off to a better start? I think they can definitely get off to a better start than what the Bucks can. So maybe there might be some value there. Bills to win the first half and Chiefs come back and win the game and go to the Super Bowl plus 600. Potentially there might be an opportunity.
I got a feeling the Bills are going to be ultra aggressive in this one, James. Really test out Patrick Mahomes. In this contest as well. Up next, VP of Digital Content right here at VSiN. He joins the program. That'd be Ben Fox. He's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, right now you can become a VSiN All Access member today and get our expert betting analysis for the NFL Conference Championship Weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 a month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from hosts and guests, 24/7 video access, and our point spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas, your host today, and happy to bring on to the program our VP of Digital Content right here at VSiN. That would be Ben Fox. Ben, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me back. We'll have a couple new things to hang up for next week, so I'll just tease that. I got a couple new paintings, so the home office coming along.
I'm telling you, it's evolving. I love it. I love it. Absolutely. Before we get to the market and some big bets that we're getting notified about, you have some exciting news in terms of sports betting when we talk about betting across America right here.
Yeah, so I think appropriate for this show, right? We're certainly looking at where sports betting is expanding across the U.S. And this week we had Michigan go online. So mobile sports betting now legal at multiple operators in Michigan on Friday. And again, Michigan's had an interesting go, certainly, of it with sports betting. They legalized it last year. They just went live on March 12th, which, as we all remember, is right before everything was shut down with COVID. All the casinos shut down. For the entire year, they only had $130 million in sports betting handle. Just to put that in comparison, seven individual states had exceeded that in 1 month. So Michigan is the 10th largest state in the U.S. We expect this to be a very big market. And obviously, we have Mike Sinnott over there in Detroit at the MGM. And so I think there should be a lot more action, certainly, there as we get towards the Super Bowl. And Virginia as well, going live through FanDuel. Very interesting as well. They had a license through the Washington football team, a sports betting license through a football team. Not something we thought we'd say a couple of years ago, but now Virginia as well online. I think they're the 12th largest state. So some big states with mobile betting. We expect a lot of betting, especially leading up to the Super Bowl. Be interesting to see kind of how the handles compare in the coming weeks to other more established states.
Yeah, absolutely, Ben. I think that's the key is the mobile. It's the ability to do it from home. You don't have to go to a brick and mortar shop to place your bets. And having that access, not only from a standpoint of being able to do it live from your computer, but then being able to do it in-game as well. So, and you may not know the answer to this, Ben, but I'm curious, because you give us these reports every month as far as the handle goes in a number of states that have legal wagering. Is there a way, do they break down when it comes to the amount of those dollars based on their handle? They had X amount of dollars in, say, parlays or teasers, or in this case, I'm really interested. Mike and I get more and more into this prop market because I think it's a market that really hasn't really been tapped into as deeply yet in certain states, and definitely not here. But do you have any kind of breakdown, or do they provide that? Do the states provide that when it comes to breakdown of how the bets were divvied out?
So I believe the biggest or the largest breakdown they get is basically straight bets and parlays. And I would imagine teasers probably are in the parlay section, but I will get back to you on that. And what we see certainly is kind of what we preach a lot, is that the hold percentage, you know, might be 5, 6, 7%. And for parlays, especially in New Jersey, we've seen it's like 15%. So the books obviously are winning a lot more on parlays. That's why we try to discourage them as much as possible, or at least not putting those 6, 7, 8 team parlays together.
You know, Ben, let's get to these games. When we started the show, not too long ago, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, it was Tampa Bay was catching 4 points. Now that you're on the program, they're catching 3.5. This line is moving during the show. Same thing with Buffalo, Kansas City. Let's start with Tampa Bay, Green Bay. What kind of betting action are you seeing on this one?
Yeah, so this seems to, I think each weekend we've kind of seen one kind of consensus public play. And the Packers, no shock, are the consensus public play this weekend, it appears. Again, two public teams, right? Tampa Bay Buccaneers, certainly with Tom Brady. Public's always been backing Tom Brady and riding him throughout. We've seen really like 75% of the bets, 75, 78% of the money at William Hill, at Bet Rivers, at some other books. We've seen the majority of the money also on the over, over 51, 51 and a half at DraftKings. That was around 80% of the bet, 75% of the money. So no surprise, the Packers and over. This really was four and a half. It opened. It's been down as low as Packers minus three, pretty much minus 3.5 across the board now. I think I saw 1.3 at the Golden Nugget with some juice. That line seems to be moving up a little bit towards the Packers. And again, Antonio Brown ruled out, and Antoine Winfield, their rookie safety, very good player, now questionable as well. So some injury concerns for Tampa Bay too.
Ben, as far as the Bills and Chiefs, with the news coming out about an hour ago that Mahomes, we suspected he was going to play, now it's confirmed he's passed concussion protocol. Any movement, not only in the side, but the total for that matchup?
Yeah, so just looking at the screen here, we've pretty much seen it went pretty much from three flat to some three minus 20s, three minus 15. We've seen some 3.5s, but a lot of those have also come down. So I think that the market for right now pretty much feels that that's the right number. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next, 48 hours as we approach game time. But I think that the line was kind of built in with the assumption, once it settled there at Chiefs minus three, that Mahomes was playing, obviously passing concussion protocol with the toe injury. But really, this has been pretty much 50-50, depending on what book you're at. A little bit more bets on the Bills, a little bit more bets on the Chiefs, or a little bit handle on the Bills, handle on the Chiefs, pretty much 50-50, the same on the total as well. Total has come down a little bit from the opening, but really around 54. It's a pretty kind of secure market right now. I think people are just waiting to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire questionable. Other than that, I think you pretty much know what we're going to get.
Yeah, a lot could happen, though, between Friday and Sunday, both games being on Sunday afternoon there.
Yep, yeah, for sure. And we should report, we just had the one largest bet that I've seen here at the South Point. Obviously, our own Jimmy Vaccaro posting it, $110,000 on the Bills plus 3.5. So that is the side I'm on, not for $110,000, but I'm on the same side as that better as well.
He got plus 3.5 too. I'm looking at the plus three now. How about that here for that bet? Ben Fox, VP of Digital Content, joining James Salinas, myself, right here on Betting Across America. Ben, enjoy the games this weekend. Should be exciting.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Thank you. Absolutely. Wow, these bets, James. I love them. I love all this information. Certainly making the decisions, too, which we need to do in our last segment of the show of this week. I know you'll be on the show this weekend, but I got to get your feels and leans, and I'll give you my picks as well. Coming up next right here on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network. Sign up with BetMGM for a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Conor McGregor to win against Dustin Poirier. Just use bonus code VSIN100. Get in the ring with the king to take advantage of this offer. Download the app and use bonus code VSIN100 today and is paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia. Exclude Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada, 800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. And James, what are you looking at tonight in terms of some sports wagering action?
Yeah, basketball. We talked about the marquee college game, right? The Big Ten matchup, Purdue and Michigan. I was leaning towards Michigan, but I don't want to lay four and a half, five on the road in this matchup. These teams know each other. That's the beauty of conference play, and that's usually when I start to get myself involved in betting college basketball. But I just think both teams can kind of neutralize the inside game with their bigs, with Williams and Dickinson on the other inside for Michigan. So I think it's defensively, we talked about it, right? These are not loud arenas, so I think both teams have the ability to communicate defensively, whether they're running switches, whatever that might be, how they're going to deal with ball screens and bump cutters, all those types of things. You can communicate verbally and be on the same page on both sides of the floor. So for this matchup here, I'm going to lean towards the under, and I'm probably going to play it under 139.5, the Purdue-Michigan game. And then in the NBA, I do like the Suns. I'm going to wait to see if Michael Porter Jr. does play. If he does play, then it's definitely going to be a play on the Suns for me. It's going to take him a little while to incorporate himself back into the offense, but my bigger thing is the defensive side with him. Not a good fit defensively for their team collectively, so I think the guards should be able to exploit Denver on the perimeter with Booker and Paul. So right now it's laying one. The number keeps going down in favor of the Suns, but that one I'm going to wait and make sure Porter Jr. is playing, which is suspected that he will.
Okay, I'm looking at laying the points there for Brooklyn, bouncing back against Cleveland. Too much firepower. They can play a little bit of defense. And Cleveland, worst offense scoring team in the NBA. Can they have another night like they did when they had double overtime against the Brooklyn Nets? I'm betting against that, apparently.
Well, and sometimes that's when we're looking at betting unders. We're betting against where there's matchups, obviously, but a lot of times it's betting against human achievement, right? So right. I get it. And they're matched up, and I think for both teams, especially for the net now, their defensive acumen, I don't know if they even care if there was any competitive pride or embarrassment from allowing Cleveland to score as many as they have. I mean, there might be a pride about it, but do you also have the capability to do anything about it on that side? I just don't know. I don't know what we're going to see now with no Harden, with just Harden and Kyrie out there and no Durant tonight. So for me, that one I probably won't be playing with that game. But the other thing that I was going to look at, we talked about it too, was that prop in that game with Charlotte and the Bulls, okay, with Lauri Markkanen. If the Charlotte, I think that one will be more of a live player prop for me. If Charlotte does start to play that zone, like JVT was really talking about, they play a lot of that based on the size and their lack of size defensively. I think Markkanen is a great spot. He's 17.5 points here right now. I would bet the over. It's even money too on the over because he is that zone buster big. He can shoot over anybody at 7 foot, and you drive and kick out of those zones, he's going to be stretched out there, kind of that elbow, that free throw line extended to shoot that ball. He'll have a lot of shot opportunities if they play zone, so that'll be another play that I'm looking at, but more likely in game.
Okay, other NBA games, Atlanta, Minnesota. Atlanta laying 6 on the road. Dallas, San Antonio. Dallas laying 2.5. OKC, the Clippers. Clippers laying 13 at home. And then New York back to back here against Sacramento, and Sacramento's laying 4.5. Any interest in those matchups?
No, I mean, I got what I needed out of the Knicks last night. I thought it'd be a flat spot for the Warriors, right? I didn't bet them for the game, but I did take that first half like we talked about. But, now going on the road again, maybe there's a bit of a letdown after a big win going and beating the Warriors. But I don't know if I'm going to play any of these other games before tip-off. The one thing that I've been watching, though, and we talked about it on Monday, and now with the Dallas Mavericks, tonight is going to be their fourth game in 6 nights. Then they have to play again. So they're wrapping up their road trip, but they'll have to play again tomorrow, 5th game in 7 days when they face Houston tomorrow. So that might be a spot that I'm going to look at. I want to see the amount of minutes that the Mavs end up playing in this contest tonight to compete there. So I think that'll be a side that I'll be looking at, not so much tonight, but watch the game, see how many, because they're thin, right? Mm-hmm. The Mavs are thin on their roster due to injuries and especially COVID. 5 games in 7 days when you don't have a lot of depth, that is very challenging from a scheduling standpoint. Definitely a fade spot most likely for me with the Mavs tomorrow.
All right. We've had a whole week certainly doing a number of shows. And your final thoughts for me and audience today in terms of the NFL conference championship games. I know you'll be on Betting Across America this weekend, but I just want your final thoughts, at least for Friday right now, as everything stands.
Sure. I haven't played any. I haven't made any plays with this yet. But breaking down some of the, again, we're talking about how do these. What do we think the game plans are going to look like for these teams coming in? It's going to be especially with that Packers game and Tampa. That's the one. Yeah, they don't want to get away from what got them there, and they've got these two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. But weather's not going to be. It's not super conducive for. I don't know if I'm going to play that total, Pritch. It's ticking up. I may want to go the other way and bet the under, but we had talked about a couple of props. One prop that I definitely like is Devontae Adams, his longest reception being over 24.5 yards. You talk about somebody that's used to playing in those conditions. We know there's probably going to be some snow on the ground. It will be definitely going to be chilly there. He knows where he's going as a route runner. Plus, he's not relegated just to playing outside the numbers. They'll move him into the slot, too. They'll get him into mismatches. He can run the whole route tree. They'll run fades to him as well if they get him matched up in man coverage, which most likely is going to happen, right, Britch? Because we know Tampa is going to need to bring some pressure. They're not going to just strictly be able to get it with their front four, so they're going to leave that young secondary, and it is a young secondary in Tampa, and when they have to go nickel, those five starters at those nickel spots, and we'll see what's up with Winfield. He may or may not play.
How about that?
No experience back there. They've got a collective 11 years of NFL experience out of those five players, so definitely some opportunities in the passing game at just 24.5 yards. Adams isn't just an outrunner. He can run the whole tree. I think there's some big plays to be made, and Devontae Adams will definitely be featured to make a big play.
You know, we haven't really talked about this, but Warren Moon, who was on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer, who was on the show earlier, highlighted, you know, from a quarterback's perspective, dealing with the pass rush is much more hard to adjust to. Than certainly any coverage schemes that a defense can run. So think about Tampa, the zone blitz, Winfield, if he's out, that might compromise things a little bit. Buffalo, too, with their secondary, you know, against Patrick Mahomes. Two teams that can rush the quarterback, though, Green Bay and Kansas City at times, certainly, with Chris Jones in the middle. So I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at this point spread, too. It was at 4 when we started the show. Now it's -3.5 Green Bay, that total 52. I do know this about Green Bay, too. Whether or not they want to disguise coverages, Todd Bowles and Tampa, they do have to establish the run. They're about a 50-50 pass-run ratio team. And Aaron Rodgers is that play-action type of quarterback. They have to get the running game started, or at least a threat of the running game in this one against Tampa Bay, James.
Well, and with Green Bay now, it's not just Jones pounding the football. Now they've got with Dylan getting worked in. I know he had an injury, but I haven't seen anything on that injury report right now. They've got depth at the running back position, so you got some bruisers that can bang it on the inside too, with Williams and Dylan coming off the bench to get some of those short yardage. And I think the biggest thing with the running game, right, Pritch, especially in games like this, is it's not a matter of, well, how many passes versus throws. It's more so knowing that in third and short situations, you want to move the sticks. You have the ability to run the football down inside the red zone, in particular down inside the 10 or in the within the 5 yard line. You have the ability to run the football as well, and I think that's really key. And I think that's what Green Bay now has really helped them diversify their offense, because they have committed more so to the running game to be able to take advantage of those third and shorts and those goal line situations. Because now it really diversifies the playbook for that offense. And then you have Rodgers that can check out and make whatever read he needs to do. I mean, the other bet we're talking about there with that game, we talked about it in one of those specials as far as wire-to-wire halftime and game to have the lead at plus 105. I may be looking at Green Bay, because I just think it's going to be a slow start for Tampa and Green Bay playing at home in this weather, and knowing that they were there last year and really got – I mean, they took a beating right last year against the 49ers, right? I think Green Bay is the better team all the way around, and Brady's done a tremendous job coming in there, but it's a tall order for that team, Tampa, to have to go into Green Bay. I might be playing that one instead, plus the 105 Green Bay first half parlayed with the game.
Okay, yeah. Tampa Bay, they have the number one ranked defense against the rush, only giving up, 80 yards per game. They get Vita Vea back. They have a nose tackle too, James. No inside zone running game between the A-gaps for Green Bay, unless they involve a tight end somehow. So that's going to be interesting. This matchup is a very, very interesting one to me. The other one as well, I think it's going to be high scoring. I'm going to look at the over situation between the Bills and the Chiefs in that second game.
Well, and for me right now, it's a number of props with that game. That's another one. We talked about Davante Adams over 24.5 is long reception. I like Tyreek Hill at 26.5 long reception too. Here's another one. They'll move outside. They'll move inside. You can take advantage of the middle of the field against the Bills. So I think there's going to be a lot of open space. They've got to be very conscious of Kelsey, obviously. But Hill not only has the ability to run all the routes, but after yards after catch with his speed, his cutting ability at 26.5 yards, I think he'll have a much bigger play than that. So I like the over with Tyreek Hill on that one play as well.
All right. I love it. I love it. Great job today, man. That was an outstanding show that we had today.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
48 hours, less than 48 hours to kick off, Pritch. Enjoy the weekend, man. Have a great time. And good luck with all your bets, and I'll see you Monday.
Good luck, and we'll see you on Monday. Absolutely. That'll do it for us. My guys in the desert coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.